I'm John Betts with Gordon Chang, my colleague and friend, and we're joined by James Fennell, government fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy, retired U.S. Navy captain, director of intelligence information operations, the U.S. Pacific Fleet. Jim, a very good day to you. As I understand it, there's a Chinese carrier on the move. This reminds, of course, the Japanese carriers on the move in late 1941, and what that led to was a catastrophe. This carrier, it's one of several they have. I think they're building a third. What does it mean that it's on the move, that it could be heading or sailing through the Taiwan Strait? How do you read this, Jim?
Well, good evening, John and Gordon. This carrier, it's their second carrier. It's a conventional powered carrier with a ski jump ramp. It's called the Shandong, named after the Shandong Peninsula. And it's been at sea for quite a long time. It charged out of the South China Sea, where it nominally is home ported, in October 26 and went through the Bashi Channel into the Philippine Sea and operated for a week and conducted over 570 sorties in that week, then went back through the Bashi Channel into the South China Sea, and on November 9th went north through the Taiwan Strait and operated up in the Bohai and was observed doing flight operations, which we think is with the air wing from their first carrier, the Liaoning. Subsequently, this week, just 2 days ago, we got the report that on Monday, the Shandong, after operating and training the air wing for their first carrier, the Liaoning, that the Shandong with its air wing embarked, transited south through the Taiwan Strait, and is most likely deep inside the South China Sea as we're talking. And so this represents, in some real terms, just in practical terms, it is a demonstration of the seamanship and capabilities and duration that the PLA Navy has been able to use in one of their carriers to stay at sea for an extended period of time without having a port call. And so it looks like now that they're being sent down into the South China Sea to lean on the Philippines. And in today's Global Times, which is a Chinese propaganda outlet, the Communist Party propaganda organ, they said that, Western media outlets are suggesting that Washington should escalate the situation, as they claim China is trying to, quote, test the limit of how far Washington would go for its ally. This is twisted logic, they say. Well, actually, when the Global Times says that this is what is twisted logic, that's actually what China is doing. They're sending the carrier down there, and they're going to lean on the Philippines to test American resolve to see whether or not they're going to stand by our treaty ally. All that we've seen since August with the Chinese and the Filipinos clashing at Second Thomas Shoal and at Scarborough.
Gordon, you have a question for Jim.
So, Jim, a few hours ago, China's ambassador to the Philippines warned Manila, sort of don't test us is the message. At the moment, there are problems at Whitsun Reef, Scarborough Shoal, and Second Thomas Shoal, where Chinese craft are engaged in extremely belligerent activities, including ramming and use of water cannon. The Shandong could, of course, be going back to some port in the South China Sea, or it could be going to the Philippines. Do you have any sense where the ultimate destination is?
Well, they're nominally home ported down there. I mean, they were constructed up in the North Sea Fleet in the Bohai, but they're home ported down on Hainan Island at Yalong Port. So they could be going back to their normal home port after having this extended period of time at sea. But we should expect to be able to confirm that here in the next day or two. If we don't see them show up at in their home port on Hainan Island, then I would say that they're heading towards, you know, the Spratlys, and they have three bases there, naval bases that they could pull into. That carrier can fit through the opening at Mischief Reef, Subi Reef, and Fiery Cross Reef. They have enough pier space for their aircraft carrier and the ships that are escorting it, somewhere probably around five or six ships are escorting it, type 055 cruisers, type 052 Delta Luoyang 3 destroyers, guided missile destroyers, probably a resupply ship. So they could pull their whole carrier strike group into any one of those three naval bases in the Spratlys and put their air wing within literally launching off the nose of the bow of the Shandong, and it literally be over second Thomas Shoal within a matter of minutes. So it's quite possible that that's what they're going to do. And the comment from the Chinese ambassador to the Philippines, the statements that we see in Global Times, all the indicators are that China's had it up to the Chinese Communist Party's had it up to their eyeballs with, you know, tiny Philippines basically thumbing their nose at them. And they're going to put the thump down on them unless the United States does something more than having a littoral combat ship, you know, steam by there once every month or two.
Jim, I'm presuming your information is first rate, that the Navy's watching this with satellites, with drones, or whatever gathering information is needed. And the Navy is entertaining rejoinder to this, what you just said. What would it look like? How would we know the U.S. Navy is responding?
Well, first of all, in terms of the intelligence system, there's no question in my mind that we know what's going on down to fine grain. We know where they're at. We know what they're doing. So if they do not go to Hainan and they head over to the Spratlys, that won't come as a surprise to the United States 7th Fleet, Pacific Fleet. What we should do is what we should have been doing over a decade, which is to go down and, you know, visibly show strong presence in a continuous basis that we're there to help defend our allies. And right now, the USS Ronald Reagan is in port. She's the permanently deployed carrier in Japan. She's in Yokosuka, Japan right now. So we have another carrier that's out there from the West Coast. And that carrier, I think it's in the Philippine Sea right now, or it could be in the Korean Peninsula. I've missed that in the last couple of days. But she could get down there and operate as a carrier strike group. I think it's the Carl Vinson. So we have capabilities to go down there and demonstrate our resolve and match the Chinese, because what they're trying to do is link up what's happening in the Ukraine, what's happening in Israel, what happened in Afghanistan. And if they can provide another example where America doesn't stand behind its allies, that's part of their goal, is to diminish the credibility of the United States of America.
Gordon, we have less than a minute.
The State Department issued a written warning that the United States was prepared to use force against the Philippines. It's about the fifth, according to my count, in the Biden administration. The president has actually issued an oral warning on October 25. Seems the Chinese are ignoring warning after warning from Washington. That suggests to me that deterrence is breaking down. What do you think?
Yeah, there's no question about it. The waffling back and forth, one statement here, different statement there, all very much erode our deterrent capability. And I would just note that this latest State Department declaration, while it was good and, I mean, dramatically stronger than it was a decade ago from the State Department, it still identified and said we would respond to the defense treaty with the Philippines if there was an armed attack against the Philippines. That doesn't mean that they would necessarily respond from a Coast Guard, Chinese Coast Guard attack. So if that were to happen, that would create more ambiguity. And if we recall the kinds of ways that the Chinese sliced and diced Scarborough Shoal in 2012, the Chinese could be playing the same game again and trying to make us look like we can't be trusted or counted upon.
James Fennell is the government fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy. Most importantly, retired U.S. Navy captain. He served as Director of Intelligence and Information Operations, U.S. Pacific Fleet. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in The Hill. I'm John Bashley.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,